Moncrief on News Talk
with the Dacia Duster. Shockingly affordable, and now with 3 months deferred payments too.
Now, as you know, going to the shops nowadays often requires queuing, walking around the shop in a prescribed direction while attempting to remain 2 metres from other people. But for blind and sight impaired people, this presents a particular set of difficulties. On the line is Kevin Kelly, Head of Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns at NCBI. Afternoon, Kevin.
Good afternoon, Sean.
I suppose no more than the rest of us have when the pandemic started or when lockdown started, blind and sight impaired people, I assume, tried to stay at home.
They did indeed try to stay at home and follow the advice that the government and the public health officials were giving us. I suppose people who are blind and vision impaired maybe faced some unique challenges compared to the sighted population. The loss of tactile touch, that's very important to someone who is blind when they're trying to navigate the world, whether it be going up and down steps, grabbing handrails and so on and so forth. And as we're all very conscious now, we're encouraged not to touch objects and so on and so forth. So people really felt a loss of that very important touch when they weren't able to see. Mm. And then the whole challenge of physical and social distancing. If you're blind or vision impaired, it really is impossible to stay 2 metres away. And that meant that a lot of people didn't go out and about for a long number of weeks. And some of our service users still, unfortunately, find it really difficult to go out and about.
Right. So if you do go out and there's a queue outside the shop, you don't really know where the queue is.
No, the whole experience of going to a shop, that has been totally turned upside down, because if you're travelling along with your cane or your guide dog, and you might have visited this shop 3 times a day for the last 10 years, but the external environment and the internal environment of the shop has been totally changed. So you will end up perhaps skipping the queue, and that gets causes a great deal of frustration. And we've had service users, we've had people pass comments to them about skipping queues and so on. When you go into the shop, then you have to find the hand sanitation stand. If you're blind or vision impaired, again, that's really, really difficult. A lot of the signage that has been created isn't accessible. The markings on the ground, for a lot of people, you can't see them. So one of the real challenges so far from COVID-19, a lot of the solutions that have been found are very visual, and people who are blind or vision impaired, unfortunately, have been somewhat left behind.
Right. And I assume guide dogs aren't trained to socially distance either.
No, guide dogs are really clever animals, and are really transformative for the people who have them. Myself, and I have a dog myself called Van, a really beautiful black Labrador, but unfortunately they're not trained to obey cues, so he would just naturally bring me to the door of the shop or the pharmacy or wherever I was going. Again, he would go into the shop, and as far as he's concerned, it's business as normal, and he doesn't respect social distancing. And again, that's a real issue. And I suppose in the NCBI, we're really encouraging the general public to be conscious of this and help and support people who are blind and vision impaired when they're going about their daily business.
So, Kevin, certainly in your experience, when you've gone out with your guide dog to the shop, is there usually someone in the shop who might assist you, show you where the end of the queue is, where the hand sanitizer is, that kind of thing?
Yeah, it's a real mixed bag. I think a lot of blind and vision impaired people have done one of two things. A lot of people have reverted to online shopping, and at the start that was really difficult because it was oversubscribed and there wasn't enough spaces. And then other people then who still need to go, say, to their local store to pick up a litre of milk or whatever, a lot of the time the staff in those shops are aware of them and they will help and support, but you really are in the hands of others, and it has been quite stressful for people, and I think it's had a real negative effect on people's mental health. And when you are blind and vision impaired, it takes a great deal of courage to get up and go about your business and enter the big bad world, because there's lots of challenges, and particularly if you're early in your sight loss journey, this whole thing has just added to people's stress levels, and I think it probably has set some people's mobility and independence back for quite some time to come.
And so as far as you know, Kevin, are there still people who actually haven't left the house yet?
Yeah, NCBI did a survey quite recently. recently, and there are a number of people that we have identified who, for one reason or another, still don't feel comfortable going out and about and don't have the support. And we're trying to support those people as best as possible. And one thing that NCBI has developed was Vision Sports, which is now part of NCBI, which is a sports organisation. We've developed a passport system where basically, and it's been sanctioned by the Department of Transport and Sport, where you have a buddy and we allocate you a pass, and that allows you then to go back to your sporting activity. And we're considering rolling that out wider to get people out of their homes and get people moving, because there is a chance that people will develop other health challenges for the lack of social interaction and just general lack of exercise.
Are there things, measures you'd like to see taken by the government or by shops or just by members of the public?
I think throughout the crisis, unfortunately, like too often in the past, people with disability and people who are blind and vision impaired weren't really being thought of, and the NCBI had to do a lot of lobbying on the whole issue of physical and social distancing, and the Department of Health eventually launched a awareness campaign, and there was ads running on News Talk and other stations around the difficulties for people with disabilities, particularly those with sight loss, to physical and social distance, and that was to create greater awareness amongst the general public. And when I have the opportunity, I would really encourage all of your listeners, when they encounter people who are blind and vision impaired, the onus is on you to provide the 2 meters space. And the other thing that we would always encourage you to do is to make yourself known before you offer assistance. And then if that offer of assistance is accepted, which it generally will be, you then should offer verbal instruction or direction, because the last thing we want is people coming up and grabbing hold of people, because that can be quite frightening and upsetting. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it does happen, Sean.
Yes. So, yes, make your presence felt with your voice in the first instance. Kevin, thanks very much. Kevin, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Kevin Kelly there, Head of Policy, Advocacy and Campaigns at NCBI. We're going to take a break. After that, should we get rid of single-sex schools?
Moncrief on News Talk.
With the Dacia range. Drive away today with no payments for the first 3 months.